What is up, good sir? It is episode 17, and we don't have Brad today. Which, is that a sigh of relief, or...
I'm a little excited.
Right on. Mr. Mike was on... What episode were you on? I don't remember. That's how good my memory is.
10? 12? Between 10, 1 10
sounds
and 15.
Familiar. For sure. For sure. So Mike was nice enough to immediately answer my phone call and call me back and tell me that he would take not Brad's spot, but fill in for Brad. So, yeah, here we are. What is today? February 8th?
Something like that.
Yeah, February 8th. Cool. Well, since the space news guru isn't here, I really don't have fuck all for that. I know that the James Webb Space Telescope just recently got its last mirror put on it, so that's cool.
Is it already out in space, or are they about to launch it? I don't know what it is. What the hell is it?
No. Well, thanks for listening to the previous episodes of the podcast, Mike. That means a lot to me.
Hey, I'm sorry. I've been busy.
It's a telescope that's going to orbit 1.5 million kilometers away from Earth. So,
how far is the moon?
300 and some odd thousand miles.
And how far is the orbit?
300 and some odd thousand miles. 1.5 million kilometers. And the sun is at 150 million kilometers.
So what's 1.5 million kilometers?
Real fucking far. That's the moral of the story. I actually have it written in my book here from last week. Are we just going to do a rehashing of last week's episode? That's how this is looking.
Oh, so is it? Okay. Well, my apologies. Let's move on. It's only for my own personal good. Anyways, a million miles.
What? Really?
Well, according to this website.
Cool. Sounds good.
Hey,
to me.
James Webb Space Telescope. Check that shit out. Got some homework. All right.
Yeah, so that's that. NASA released a 360-degree picture from the Curiosity rover, so that was kind of neat. If you like looking at the desert, it's all it looked like. It was a desert with a robot at the bottom of it, so if that's cool to you, then... I mean, it's neat. It's as cool as seeing pictures of, like, polar bears. Like, I'm not there to see the polar bear, so it's just a picture of a polar bear. Like, I'm not looking at a polar bear. I'm looking at a picture. I'm not looking at Mars. It's some dirt. As far as I know, they faked that, too, and it's just a picture of fucking Utah, but whatever.
Well, I'm personally more interested in the fact that it's still working.
That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that it is actually still running, and there's another rover out there that I saw an article on, a couple weeks back, where it's, like, 15 years or 10 years into...
Red Rover?
I thought it was like... Is that a couple weeks ago? You guys talked about that too? Is that...
No. Red Rover, send dipshit.
Gotcha.
Right up.
Right.
Never mind.
No,
sorry.
I got you. I got the reference. I just didn't know if that was real or not. Tells you how much I pay attention. But anyways, but yeah, like 10 or 15 years beyond its normal 3-month window, and it's still working, and it has some failure components, but it's still roaming around like it's got a purpose.
Out on Mars?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. That's legit.
I mean, that's shit. I mean, that stuff is running better than most people's cars, so...
Seriously. Seriously.
Oh, my God.
That is pretty rad. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. It's cool that there's a planet... I'm taking a page out of Brad's book on this one, but it's cool that there's a planet that is completely inhabited by robots in our solar system.
That we know of.
It's pretty incredible.
I'm still waiting for the surprise moment. You know, it's just, yeah, I'm waiting for that. I'm hoping for that.
I don't know. I'm not waiting or hoping. It'd be cool if it popped up, but I'm for sure as shit not going to hold my breath for it. I think we'll be too focused on killing each other and ourselves instead of forward progress for the next couple hundred years. Probably be dragging our feet in the sand for a little bit, but...
Right. Well, what's your feelings on Illuminati?
Oh, they're definitely around, I guess, right?
I sure hope so. I sure hope that they do exist, and I hope that they are controlling everything from a higher power, or from a higher seat, whatever, not higher power, but higher seat, that they're actually controlling, like, what we see is just basically some group of old farts sitting there. All right, let's blow up this part of the world. All right, let's do it, and they make it happen. Because at least things would make sense at that point.
Sure, yeah, that'd make sense. And then, I don't know. What would we, like, form, like, a raiding party and then go...
No, honestly.
Kill those people, and then we'd sit around like, well, this is kind of fucking boring, and then we would just start blowing each other up anyways, because...
Well, no, it would just make more sense. I mean, I don't know.
Explain why there's so many cunts on the planet, that's for sure.
Or why people are being that freaking stupid. Like,
yeah.
Why politicians suck. And, like, it just makes sense. It would, okay, all right, that guy, okay, all right, that guy's not really an idiot or imbecile, you know, somebody told him to be that way, all right, cool. Otherwise, I would be quite frightened.
I mean, shot in the dark, Mr. Donald Trump these days.
I didn't want to bring him up, but you did, so.
I don't know. You know my thoughts on politics. I couldn't fucking care less.
Right.
They're all idiots. But I don't know. I wonder if he's just being a cartoonish asshole. This is not me supporting him by any means, or a justification for what he says or his actions. I just wonder if, like, what if this is just a game? I don't know.
I sure hope so. Like, I really hope, because if someone is really that moronic, or it is so outlandish,
close-minded,
yeah, just like really, yeah. Like, and there's people that support him, which really concerned me as well. That's what
there is a ton of people that support him.
It's like, all right,
like,
well,
there's not enough chairs at his rallies for everybody to sit down.
Yeah, but when you have a rally for, you know, 1,000 people and you invite 5,000 people, it gives the illusion that a lot of people give shit. Like, I'm betting that is what's happening right now, and it's
or
not...
maybe if they just ordered 50 chairs, like, that could have done it too, I guess.
Book a room that's bigger than 50 feet squared, you know. You get the stage, and then 10 people. All right, woo! Standing room only. All right.
And then use a fisheye lens so it looks real big.
CGI, really at its prime.
It's like fucking... Battle of Helm's Deep. Is this a bunch of fucking idiots running around? We set them on auto AI, so they just kind of fight each other. It's pretty fantastic technology, really.
I would accept that. I'd be like, all right, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Thank you. That's all I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, so, yeah, we'll just skip right past space news. I really, man, I don't know. I'm still waiting on hoverboards, so I shall remain silent.
Did they ever 8060 current prototype that's out using, was it liquid nitrogen or something like that, like super cool conductors? Or I remember seeing a video. I haven't done any research against it, but it's the actual hoverboard. I don't know if that was fake
or
not.
I haven't seen that.
Really?
Yeah.
It's.
I'll have to check it out.
go Google. But yeah, it's. If it's real, it's real. If not, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, but. I mean, the wait goes on. I'm not too too worried about it.
The Lexus hoverboard, I think, is the actual name of it.
Is it made by Lexus?
I sure hope so.
Like the car company?
It's spelled the same. But
very interesting.
Yeah, something to check out. 500,000 raised in Kickstarter. I should make sure I complete that sentence.
Really?
The project drew thousands of supporters and raised over $500,000 on a crowdfunding site Kickstarter.
That's interesting.
Yep. Oh, so the service has to be plated copper or something like that. I don't know. I got to do more research on it. But yeah, something like that. So I'm sure some gimmicky.
Well, what if
BS.
They... Can they use... Yeah. So this is about where my engineering degree expires. Can they use plated copper for solar panels, I wonder? Because if they pave the road with plated copper, then not only could we have hover boards, we have hover cars.
There's copper. I want to say there's copper in solar panels, but that's pretty much like some special silicon crap that has some cool little mesh stuff with it. Apparently, gotcha. Apparently I got the same engineering degree as you did.
Yeah. Yep.
So, but yeah, so I just know it's not all copper. Now, whether or not how sensitive this thing is, but what's really interesting, though, is when they use super cool conductors, something like that. You can YouTube it, but it's basically defies gravity. It levitates.
That's bananas.
Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff, but it's like, you know, obviously super cooled. I mean, the realistic applications are somewhat limited because obviously you're not going to be having some super cooled, you know, sub temperatures of God knows what to chill your capacitors, so whatever. But still, we can defy gravity with technology, which is pretty cool in itself.
That is cool. They need to make that a real thing. I watched the first episode of the new X-Files. I know what's going on out there. The truth is out there, actually.
You broke up there.
Goliath Online.
All right, there you go. Right. We're back.
So I did... what have you played over the weekend?
XCOM 2.
I was hoping you were going to say that. How is it? Tell me about it.
You know, it is different, but not different, which is good.
Different from Enemy Within or whatever the hell it was called?
Enemy Unknown? Yeah, okay. So I played the crap out of Enemy Unknown, and I enjoyed that game. I think I've restarted at least 500,000 times on that one.
I heard that was a big thing with that game. It was like, there are points where you realize that you fucking dropped the ball big, and the only way to salvage it is... to start over again, well, brand new game.
The big driving factor is that you get attached to your characters because your characters level up, and they you develop emotional bond with the characters. Like my team, I would spend an hour decking them out, making them look BA, and the game.
Did you play Iron Man mode?
I tried it like 30 times, and after I could not. I'll get like through the first like two maps, and then the game would screw me, and it's like, oh look, yeah, you have an 80% success chance of hitting it, and the guy like shoots. In the air, and it gets blasted afterwards. And I'm like, you son of a... And then you just watch it in slow-mo, because when you do the kill shot, they literally do a slow-mo animated like hit, and you're just like, ugh. So that is probably the most frustrating component of that game. So, and with Enemy Unknown, how that... The whole premise is that, you know, you are defending the planet, Earth is on your side, you know, great.
Yeah.
And then with the XCOM 2...
Earth is under siege in that one.
Well, depending how you look at it. It's 20 years after the aliens take over Earth. But they don't take over Earth.
Whoa, so this is... So, do they use the original XCOM as canon to follow up? Or the new Enemy Unknown was a sequel? To the original XCOM UFO defense?
No. I played the crap out of UFO Defense, but I was too young to really understand the plot line.
Okay, but, that's fair. That was a long-ass time ago,
yeah,
dude.
But I want to say they were kind of one and the same kind of storyline. Aliens are attacking, you defend Earth, got it, cool. But for the Enemy Unknown, or not Enemy Unknown, I'm sorry, XCOM 2, the aliens already taken over the Earth, but they did it in a way of, we're your friends. And so basically, I don't know much about the plot line because obviously I keep on restarting the game. And but long story short, they
So not to cut you off, but like just to get an understanding with XCOM 2, is that's a sequel to Enemy Unknown?
Yes.
And in between XCOM Enemy Unknown, when you're fighting the aliens, and when XCOM 2 came out, another set of aliens showed up, like...
Not the same aliens. They just... They're breeding with humans type of thing.
They
so
put on sunglasses, and they're like, nah, man, we're good guys now.
Well, like,
and you guys are like, all right, we'll come on in.
Gene therapy.
And then they do, surprise, motherfucker, and then they take the entire planet?
Pretty much. You are actually the rebels. You're the rebel scum in the game.
Okay.
And so you're doing the whole roaming to one spot, getting more supporters and doing all this stuff. So you have shit for gear. You're stealing stuff. You're blowing stuff up. So it's a whole different dynamic because you are, you know, humanity, the average human, you know, thinks you're an asshole.
Do you... Oh, so humans are, like, operating alongside with the aliens? Oh, yeah. So you're just like a group of terrorists.
Yeah, but for humans.
What are the aliens doing that is justifying the actions of the player?
Well, it depends on who you're. Well, all I know is that they're performing gene therapy. So basically, you can elect to go, hey, I want to be better, and then the aliens go and they do stuff with your DNA and pretty much early, like in the beginning of the game, you find out that these humans are gene therapied and they have like alien eyes, but they have human lower face. It's kind of weird, but yeah. So I don't know what their actual agenda is, but they're implying it's one of those things where, let me take a back up for a second. They're playing on conspiracy theories of real theories going on right now.
Oh, interesting.
And so I've dabbled in it because obviously I'm curious. But the whole idea is that in order to take over the planet and to fully take over, you have to blend your DNA. So basically, your offspring becomes a super, can actually handle the new climate and the new world and all that stuff. And so that's what they're kind of implying is what's happening.
So are they using the human genetics in order to get themselves? That's a strange, that seems like kind of a win-win situation. Like, you get the intelligence of space travel, and then the space travelers get the physical ability to exist in that planet's atmosphere.
But humanity dies at that point, and that's what...
Well, so do they, right?
No, because they're already existing. They already live on multiple planets. They already live off the planet. And so basically, the whatever, the natural species on the planet, there's a word for it, I can't think of it.
Native?
Yeah, there you go, native. Yeah, the natives die off. You kill them off, and they become you, and there's mind control and all that stuff. I mean, there's shady stuff going on all the time. But basically, humans will eventually cease to exist because they all become a hybrid or, you know, hybrid species. And then eventually you weed out all of human genetics except for the little pieces that you want through gene therapy. I mean, it's what we're doing with freaking crops, and that's why our crops are getting
hardier. Well, it's what we did with dogs, pretty much.
Yeah, and then we got chihuahuas. And,
yeah, pretty magical shit. So, I mean, pot calling the kettle black on the humans. Sounds like the humans in that game are kind of assholes. That the humans in that game might be redneck hillbillies. So, do you get a base?
You get a
in that one.
You get a big ass plane. You get the freaking Avengers quad carrier is what you get.
Oh, okay.
And then
so are you flying or are you in space?
You're flying. No, you're in Atmo.
Okay, so you're not in orbit.
No.
Like, so do you have to, where do you get the fuel from?
Alien technology, whatever reactor they use. It's not like you're stopping at a 7-Eleven and topping off with a, you know, premium.
Okay. Well, I mean, I was picturing more like a bunch of guys running around with jerry cans trying to fill those up and then go fill up their Haley machine so they can come down and kill them goddamn space aliens.
No, but you do.
Taking their gerbs.
They do have supply. And that's what they call supply, and that's your money. And
oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, so you do have to pick up supply, quote unquote.
So you're no longer like funded by, you're no longer like a government.
No.
Agency.
No, you are terrorists.
Okay.
Like, if you are, oh, look, the aliens made our lives better. I mean, the whole world is advanced technology, and you know it's clean and whatever. And then you have a group of guys sitting there attacking your way of life. So it's one of those things where, ha, I see what you did there, you know, terrorists.
Gotcha. Dude, that's, I don't, play XCOM. XCOM and I don't get along, so I'm happy. I'm happy you came on for this one. It worked out well with it just coming out on what, the 5th? On Friday, right?
Friday, yeah.
And so that's good.
Yeah. Stupid
but
Steam.
I would still like to have a poster of the cover art for that game, because the cover art, that fucking, that alien made up of skulls is...
Yeah, it's pretty...
That's probably the coolest fucking cover art.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. Ever. Definitely would look pretty cool.
So, I managed to talk Melissa into playing The Witness with me. And... that if you're into puzzles, the game is the cat's pajamas. So there's no one else in the entire thing, and you wander around the island solving puzzles. And when we stopped playing on Saturday so I could come do the Dungeons and Dragons thing with you and Matt and Adam and Ben, fucking Adam. But we had reached a point with the puzzles that we had no fucking clue what was going on. And typically, as you're going through the game, there's like sets of like 6 or 8 puzzles that kind of hold your hand through how to solve those puzzles. There's no talking in it. Well, actually, that's a lie. There is talking. You can solve some puzzles that open up these weird, like, quotes from famous thinkers, I guess. There's, like, Einstein quotes and shit like that. But yeah, I don't know how to explain it. I guess it's made by Jonathan Blow. He made Braid. I don't know if you ever played Braid, mm-mm. But it was an Xbox title. It was a platformer with puzzles and stuff. It was fun.
It looks a lot.
I guess it's like it.
It looks a lot like Myst, or at least.
Dude, nope. You hit it.
There you go.
That's it. Yep. Nail on the fucking head. His goal was, his drive was to make a modern day Myst. So, yeah, I don't know if he did it. I didn't play Myst when I was younger, but we're to the point now where the puzzles are so fucking mind bending that. Like, I don't know, Melissa and I sat and stared at the TV screen for like 10 minutes. Dude, longer than that. Probably 30 fucking minutes at this one puzzle. Just like trying to look around in like the immediate area. Like looking in... because the weirdest shit affects it. Like when you first start it, it's like, oh, this is fun. This is cute. Like you just draw a line from point A to point B. An hour into the game... you should probably start drinking. You're going to be pulling your fucking hair out and just staring at the TV and just asking the television, what do you want from me? What do you fucking want from me? And the puzzle just sits there. It just sits there silently, unsolved. And the little miniature victories that you get when you solve like a section of puzzles... like right in the beginning there's this apple orchard section that I don't want to
it's
been out for a little while. Yeah, I'll keep it to myself. If you play it, I would love to have somebody to talk to about it, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, I'll buy it right now,
but I don't want to hear any spoilers, so
guess I'm sure Cam would love to. Because she's into those weird-ass puzzle games.
I checked it out because the guys at Game Informer and the guys at Giant Bomb both had rave reviews about it, which was weird to me for a modern-day Myst. Like, why are so many people hyped about a modern-day Myst? But it is a lot of fun, and there's a ton of work to put into it, I guess. So it's real neat.
How are you playing on your TV? You just run a cable, or?
I just ordered a long HDMI cable. God damn it. I had no fucking reason to buy the link, the Steam link. I had no reason.
Until now.
And then the guys at Giant Bomb were like, do you think this is a good couples game? And the other guy was like, oh, yeah, dude, absolutely. And then the other guy was like, yeah, man, it's a great couples game. I was like, fuck. There it is, right there. That's why the Steam link's fucking important. Because Melissa and I aren't going to crowd around my monitor,
no.
Which is dwarfed in comparison to the TV. So I want that. I'm trying like hell to talk her into start playing Pokemon, because she's been playing Pocket Mortys on my phone. Just that fucking Rick and Morty game.
Right.
And she's trying to... same shit, man. You collect them and then go fight other bastards and then collect more and make them evolve. It's like, dude, you might really like Pokemon. But yeah, the lighting, I don't know, the lighting and the coloring in The Witness is rad, and that's pretty much all I have to say about The Witness, because I don't want to ruin any activities.
You can only order Steam Link online, can't you?
I would imagine so. Unless it's on like Amazon or something. Oh, dude, Best Buy doesn't.
Shit.
Did you? The Best Buy that I worked at is closed.
Really?
Went up at Flatirons? Yeah.
I was
filling out a job application the other day. I was like, what the fuck is the address of that Best Buy? And then I looked it up and it wasn't there. So then I zoomed in on the map and looked, and it shows that there was a Best Buy there, and it says, I think it says like closed underneath it or some shit like that.
Huh.
Well, really weird, though. They have a map on Google Maps of the inside of the store. So, like, it shows, like, the media section and then, like, the washer and dryer and customer service and shit like that.
It makes sense. You know, that way you can plot out your
Sure, they sell iron. You can get an iron.
What aisle your crap is on, so you can plan it out. It's like, all right, babe, we're going to Best Buy. We're going to take 10 steps forward, turn right. Dude. Not to jump off topic, but I was playing D&D or Star Wars, whatever, and over at this pub, and there has to be some blind people enclave there. Cool, whatever. So we're sitting there, and this group, this couple comes up, and they start ramming into us. Like, hey, you know, doors, you know, can we help you? It's like, oh yeah, where's the door? Okay, so. I knew in the back of my mind I'm about to open up a can of worms, so I'm like, well, here, give me your hand, and I'll walk you, you know, to the whatever. He was okay with that. So I grabbed the girl. I'm like, hey, give me your hand. I'll take you. And she had a scripted statement of, like, I'm okay if you just tell me where to go and all that stuff. Like, pretty much don't touch me. I'm like, my bad for I should have asked you. And, like, you know, their best press. But how she responded was, like, really aggravated the shit out of me. Anyways, but, yeah. And it still has messed me up to this point. Like, I'm like, really? Like, I'm trying to help you out. And yeah, sorry.
Well, she's blind, dude.
No, I know she's blind, and that's cool. But, like, how she responded, like, I'm sorry. I'm not used to dealing with blind people. Like,
she probably gets tired of people touching her. Like, oh, hi.
Totally. I totally get that, and it totally makes sense. But, like, the way she responded, though, it was not like, I'm there. I wanted to help. But, like, I get where she got her frustration, but, like, obviously, it's all scripted, and obviously, based off your reaction, I'm the asshole. Got it. All right.
I'm not saying you're the asshole, because I know the kind of person you are, so I know that you just want to help, but, like, I don't know. I can't imagine being blind, for one.
Right.
Imagine an invisible person walking up to you and talking to you. Imagine walking along, like, everything's going fine, and then you run into something invisible, and then that invisible thing starts fucking talking at you, and then it tries to grab you and take you somewhere.
Correct.
Well, maybe it's time to pull out the script.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But a proper response would be, hey, I'm okay, you know, sure, all right.
Was she cute?
No.
Was she cute?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, maybe she gets it a lot, but...
No, but it's...
Not it, but...
I agree with you 100%, and it was my fault for not, like, hey, how would you like me to help you? You know, because I feel kind of weird. Like, yeah, walk 10 feet or 10 steps to the front and turn right 90 degrees and walk 20 steps. And at that point, you're at the trash can of the front door. Like, I'm sorry, I don't help blind people that often. And so I don't know the proper etiquette, you know, of, all right, turn 13 degrees to the right. I should have been like a dick like that. 13 degrees to the right, walk 2.5 feet, turn again 13 degrees. Watch out for the obstacles in front of you, such as chairs, tables, and other pedestrians.
You're going to come across a hollow football. you must tap right that twice to proceed forward.
Obviously, this is a sensitive subject for me, so I apologize. But yeah, so I decided...
The troll will appear in front of you, and you must answer his questions 3. Best of luck to you, blind folk.
You know what? Maybe blind people need to have a little thing around their neck that says, don't touch me. And then I'm like, all right, cool. We're on the
Maybe
same page
I here. Fucking need that. I need a necklace. Yeah. Like Flava Flav, big as shit, that just says, don't talk to me.
All right. I am purchasing Steam.
Zavitness? Oh, you're getting the link.
Yep.
Nice. You said Adam. Adam enjoyed it, right?
Yeah. Of course, I don't know if he's still using it, but. It's something. Now I gotta buy freaking condenser that goes halfway across my basement. So,
in comparison to how expensive the shield is, it's pretty justifiable.
Right.
The shield's $150. The Nvidia shield. So I mean, that's fucking rad that Steam or Valve, whatever, was able to put out something. I don't know what the trade off is. We covered it back a few episodes ago,
right?
But
it's kind of cool because of the technology that they use is technology I'm using in my job.
Yeah,
and it's really interesting to see it being applied in that sense because it's actually like what I'm kind of hoping for. That's actually achievable, where if you have a powerful enough GPU, like the GPU that they put in these things for the solution is like 5-10 grand. And can run like 30 or 40 workstations. It's freaking mind-boggling.
What? Really?
Yeah. Now, I don't know what it is on gaming stance. We're actually setting it up internally right now, and I'm like, all right. So
is it like a GPU that like that your entire office's computers run through?
So, all right. You know what remote desktop is?
Yeah, okay. Like when you fix my computer.
Right. There is a thing called remote desktop, like terminal services, all right? And so,
oh, that's... Yeah, Melissa uses that shit so she can work from home. Gotcha.
And you know how it kind of gets kind of choppy and the experience is kind of like, you know, you know that you are streaming your desktop across X amount of miles. Like, it's not exactly one-to-one movement.
I mean, when I... Yeah, when I... Well, I've never fucked with it, but when I watch you operate, like, on my desktop, it's like the mouse skips around, yeah.
So that's based off the technology it's using to stream the display. So what the technology is called VDI, and don't ask me what the acronym stands for. It's virtual desktop.
Video display interface. Moving right along.
All
right,
cool, lovely.
I don't know if that's the case. I know
you are probably not wrong. But anyways, and it's only for internet or for local LAN because that's the only thing that can handle the bandwidth of the video display. And so the graphics card is running the display and processing the display.
Virtual desktop infrastructure.
There you go. And then streaming it to the remote desktop instead of your desktop doing the generating. Anyways, so theoretically, it should make the experience like just like working on like a regular desktop, but yet streamed across a network.
Okay.
So, and it's kind of, I mean, did I send you that link about the $30,000 gaming machine that can run like 7 sessions or like 14 sessions of gaming?
No. What? Why would you even need to do that?
LAN centers, dude.
Oh.
Think about it. You have one machine that's powerful enough that can run 7 or 10 or whatever it is gaming sessions on 4K monitors.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah, and it's using that same principle of VDI.
So would you just run... What would you need at the station then? Just like bare bones fucking lunchbox or what?
Yeah, no, I mean, you need basically a new OS. You need, I think, Windows 10 base, or, you know, at a minimum, a very powerful CPU and very powerful graphics card. Because you're going to be divvying that up, and then you need a crap ton of storage.
Well, I mean for to be one of the seven playing the game, like, what, in order to hook up to that machine, what would you need? Because you're essentially just streaming the game at that point, right?
Right. But I'm trying to think of, obviously, USB ports. And I don't know if it's a display port that you need. Because display ports, I think you can daisy chain out, like, a USB, which is like 256 displays or whatever. But there's a, something like that. But there's software that runs that divvies up the USB ports.
Okay.
That kind of emulates a separate workstation.
But you would need individual computers, right, for each station?
It's one tower with X amount of monitors, X amount of keyboards, and X amount of mice. Does that
God, where would you hide that fucking thing?
Well,
it would have to be hidden.
Well,
lock that fucker up.
You can see pictures of it in YouTube.
No, I just mean, like, if you were to open a LAN center and that was, say you had, like, two stations in there, you had two of those machines in there to run 14 or 20 or however many, I feel like it would be safer to have, like, those, like, little shuttle boxes or whatever that Gamer had when I left, with, like, very rudimentary, just like a basic ass motherboard, just,
but that's the, you
bare
know,
minimum.
But that's not even needed. Theoretically, imagine that, or the way I would do it, if I had, let's say, a plethora of money.
Sure.
Oiled cool fish tank cylinder, and having the machines in there, and basically you just have external ports jacked in, and so you just plug in your display port, two USB for your peripherals, and then you are good to go. Like, that is it.
And then there's just, like, LEDs at the bottom of the fish tank.
Yeah.
And, like,
bubbles. Bubble makers, you gotta,
like, yeah, bubbles, yeah. There's a little treasure chest at the bottom that fucking flaps open every, like, 10 seconds.
I don't know, Oiled Cool has very good cooling properties. I think last time I saw it was, like, a cubic inch of cooling of mineral oil has the same cooling properties as an entire air-cooled case.
Mineral oil, that's what it is. Yep. That was one thing that I was real curious about is how... We've talked about mineral oil machines years ago, but I don't remember a lot about it. The thing that I was worried about is, like, how dense is mineral oil, and, like, how much does it even, like, move around, and does that displace heat, or...
So, answer is yes. So, if I remember correctly, I think mineral oil is less dense than water, and so you can actually use the water pumps...
Oh, okay, cool. So it's not just going to, like, the treasure chest isn't going to blow open up and then blow, like, a bubble.
Nope.
That's going to sit on top of the treasure chest for the next 10 fucking hours.
Right. No, but what's really cool is that the bubbles actually, through thermal dynamics, actually help the...
And here's Michael with your tech news.
actually help with the cooling, because the heat actually attaches itself to the bubbles, and you carry it up to the top, and it actually dissipates. So bubbles actually help the cooling of the whatever. But the only downside you have with it is the wicking, is that the mineral oil will eventually go away at the rubber that's in there, or the plastics, and so you have to kind of filter out the mineral oil to get all that crap out, unless you're somehow able to strip all the plastic and all that crap out of it. That's,
so you need to filter the mineral oil?
That's how I would say it, and I don't know the...
So can you use, like, a... I mean, there's plenty of water pumps that filter water.
Well, yeah, and I'm assuming, like, you can probably get away with just stupid coffee filters. I mean, it's... You're just... Basically...
Hey, man. Hey, I bet if you're making a mineral oil computer, you're sure as shit not going to be hillbillying it with a goddamn coffee filter, dude. You might swing a little harder than that.
Well, come on, what I was looking at, I was thinking, I mean, people could do it. Mineral oil is expensive, but you can actually do it with a freaking, like, a regular, like, 10-gallon fish tank.
Yeah.
And just do it that way, and that's how normal people do it. But yes, you can take it to that part and actually make a whole of course, me, you know, like go big or go home. And so I was trying to devise up
you'd give those motherfuckers a shout on the History Channel or whatever that make gigantic. Oh, Scott Nielsen. You could hit up Scott Nielsen.
There you go. All I need is a big cylinder, yeah. And they come up with like a whole radiator. Actually, I was thinking about doing it for a media PC because I think that would be kind of cool sitting in the theater room, sitting there with the kind of cool lights and bubbles and...
Be way cool.
Yeah.
Be real fucking cool, actually.
It's like, I'm watching a movie, but really I'm just watching it on my computer. But I don't know. That's... I mean, there's actually a company called the... I don't know what company it is, but there's a PC called the Reactor PC. And that has the aerospace... design chassis for the oil and really cool stuff. I mean, but expensive as shit. I was able to price it out for the one I would want. Obviously, it's like for 20 G's.
Oh wow!
Yeah, good dual CPU, Jesus. Quad GPUs. I mean, this thing was.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you know, go big, go home.
I one day back when my computer wasn't. Rebuilt when you and I went to what the hell is it, Micro Center, is that what it's called?
Yep.
When I went there with you and Matt and whoever the fuck else, I feel like there was a fourth there.
I think it was a stream and went over to Adams to build it.
Eventually.
Oh yeah, that's right. We went back to your house and built it out, and my stupid USB CD ROM drive failed horribly.
Yeah. No, it was just the power cable.
Yeah, the USB.
The
cable.
Drive was fine. It was that fucking power cable. But before I came back and rebuilt my computer, I was wondering like how hard, because at that time I was diving, so I had access to a bunch of fucking tools at the shop and stuff. Like how hard would it be to make my own case? And then I got to thinking about like all the holes that you have to drill for mounting everything and all that stuff, and which really isn't a deterrent. But I'm not a carpenter, so. I mean, the diving work that I did, I mean, maybe they can't fire me now, but I mean, you're working underwater in zero visibility, so it's just kind of like, we'll see what happens. Just start hammering fucking giant drill bits into concrete. But
so you're that asshole. Got it.
most of us are. I mean, you can talk to a few guys and you'll be like, no, man, I do good, honest work underwater. And you can look at him dead in the eye and go, you're a fucking liar. Full of shit.
Well, I mean, what's really cool is the ones that do it on the plywood. They do it a totally external, and it is mounted above their. Have you seen one of those where it's all mounted on plywood, and they have like beautiful cable management, like it's almost orgasmic. And I always want to do that, but I'm too damn lazy.
I like it. In the desk, I think that looks really cool when it's like in when it is the desk and the plexiglass is just on top.
Yeah,
I think the plexiglass would dry. I think, I don't know, maybe get real glass. I don't know. Sure as shit, don't get the fucking glass that the iPhone screen's made out of because that scratches like a mad cunt. That's for sure. But
get Gorilla Glass. There you go.
Sure. Yeah. Whatever doesn't scratch upon like. Continuous rubbing, because I feel like a mouse would eventually just form like a little divot in the.
There you go. Well, I had that stupid L desk for ages at my house. I don't know if you remember that thing, but I was actually a little trooper.
Oh yeah, that was glass, wasn't it? That's right. I totally forgot about that.
With the 70-pound CRT Mitsubishi monitor that actually put copper tubing underneath to reinforce the structure. Yeah, that. Monster.
Really? Did they really?
Yeah, I went to freaking Ace Hardware Store and somehow I got the measurements right or whatever, and I got a copper pipe cut in half for the length of the depth of the desk and wrapped it in electrical tape for rubber, and that's what the monitor rested on. So I jerry-rigged the shit out of it, but actually it worked. I was very for being a dumb high schooler, that actually worked out for me.
Hey, good job on having the forethought that this shit might fall the fuck through the glass.
Well, when the glass said, hey, nothing more than 50 pounds, all right.
That's a bit of a red flag. Those CRTs weighed every bit of 1,000.
Jesus.
Dude, those fucking LAN parties that we had at your house were It's like, all right, everybody, set up your computer. And then everybody got, like, their own sheet of plywood that would fit across whichever couch they were sitting on. Like, oh, yeah, you just put your keyboard and your mouse on top of this 10-foot-long sheet of plywood. And then when you had to piss, it was a real bastard. You had to, like, take everything off piece by piece and then set the board down, not on your toes.
No. And, of course, you know, doing that, it takes at least 5 hours for everybody to get set up, troubleshoot the network, and then
network was always a motherfucker for me, man, every time.
And then it's always, oh yeah, let's play this game that no one has installed, and then you spend 5 hours doing that, and then let's look at porn, and let's exchange porn, and then that's the end of that night.
I'm gonna go ahead and defend myself on this one. I don't remember the porn exchanging.
Dude, that's what we did when we did at the Maximum Gamer. When we did the whole car show equivalent at that LAN party, like Enrique showed up, and then he brought all his porn collection, and we all just jacked at each other and started grabbing it.
Oh, fuck. Those were the days. I was talking to Melissa. I don't think she likes it when I talk to her, but we were sitting on the beach last night in front of a campfire. And I just, for some reason, started thinking about Unity. This is going to segue nicely. Actually, this was not intended. So I was thinking about Unity. I was like, yeah, just out of nowhere, because I start conversations in the fucking middle of the conversation. It's what I do. And then I expect the other person to just keep pace, motherfucker. Like, we're going. Which is stupid. It's terrible. But, I was explaining to her, like, the entire, like, family of Maximum Gamer. I was like, if VH1 did a fucking Maximum Gamer Arvada edition of Where Are They Now, I'd watch it. Like, it'd be all right. Like, and then I explained to her, like, what happened to Rick, or, like, what I know happened to Rick. And I don't think she believed me. Like, that was like, we fucking ruined that dude's life when we introduced Lineage 2. Yeah,
yep.
That was it.
To this day, I'm
GG no read.
Yep.
Stopped playing hockey, lost his hot dancer girlfriend.
Well, though, her mother didn't like Enrique. Like, there was more to it, but yeah.
Well, I mean, it coincided nicely.
Right. Dude, yeah, that.
Gained a bunch of weight, became a fucking recluse.
Yeah.
A hermit.
The only way you could talk to him is if you bring him Chipotle and Diet Pepsi. So, of course, I was a little bitch. I'm like, hey, Enrique, I'll come see you, and I'll go pick up Chipotle in a case of, you know, his desk is all freaking covered with like 30 high cans. He's like, hey.
Insane.
And then just sit there and play. He wouldn't even talk to you. He's like, all right, thanks. And yeah, but somehow he got it. Well, that's because he got laid off.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, poor Melissa got a fucking earful last night of like, well, then this happened. Because I was like, I was remembering and reminiscing and like telling myself that story at the same time that this was all happening to this unfortunate human being sitting next to me. Poor fucking girl. But yeah.
It's a.
So.
Good.
No, hit it, dude.
Nah, it's all right. You're about to say you're getting all leaned back and ready to, you know, jump into this. So please finish that thought.
No, I was gonna. I just ran my microphone into the microphone. I was going to leave that conversation by saying that I had a dream that we made an MMO the other night, and I had a dream that you, me, Matt, Adam, were working on Unity, and I've no reason to know what Unity is at all, except for when we were at Adam's house one time and he was like trying to show us this bunk ass game that he made. This is like, yeah, so this is like your spaceship and you just kind of like run around and like you can come over here and like turn engines on and stuff. It's like, okay, Adam, nobody gives a fuck. Like, we just came here to play video games. But I woke up like oddly inspired to go download Unity, and I'm like, fuck it. We talked about it. We're going to make a fucking game. This is what's going to happen. This is what needs to happen. Like, we've talked about it for too long.
Yeah.
So I downloaded Unity. I opened Unity. I closed Unity because there's I haven't the slightest clue as to what goes into that. I closed Unity and I immediately sent Adam a message on Steam. I was like, hey, if you have any advice for beginning on Unity, I need it. And his response was pretty much just go get an Amazon book, which is rad. He's like, by the time you finish it, you will have built a game. And he's like, I didn't even finish the entire book, but I pulled a bunch away. And in my mind, it's like, well, you have a computer science degree, so he doesn't. Can go fuck yourself. What does he have a degree in?
Like business.
The degree that's hanging on the wall down in the...
Yeah, his business... Like, he has his BA.
Business... Yeah,
or
it's a bachelor's...
It's in
bachelor's
business.
In arts for computer... I thought it was computer fucking...
I think it's business. Maybe you're right. I don't know. Hey, all I know is that it does not directly correlate for what he's actually doing now.
Oh, okay. I mean, I thought that... Powdered Toast Man is definitely not him. I thought with even like the work that he was doing at level 3 and shit, because that's initially what brought up the conversation was explaining, that whole layoff period for those guys. Not to get too personal for those guys, sorry. I didn't say last name, so I guess we're good in Enrique Martinez. Anyways.
Here's the Facebook link. So I've dabbled in Unity because you get the bug, and what you're getting now is like I've had that bug, and you just that's all you can think of. You start doing stuff. The way I did it, I YouTube videos. There's a shit ton of tutorials that get you at least playing in something. The solutions get you like I made a like what those guys are doing with a marble droid or what marble whatever it is that like it's all physics based.
Oh yeah, real quick for them, they're supposed to have a something. Coming out this month.
Let's pick that name up. What company is that?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Zebra Lightning? Lightning Zebra?
Is it still Zebra Lightning?
Well, it is, but yeah. I don't want to get too deep into that one.
If you work for Zebra Lightning, I will mail you a $10 bill if you send me an email in the next 4 days. So, yep.
Anyways, but...
Cool.
Yeah. So yeah, that's coming out. I know what I'm pulling for those guys. I'm really hoping that they figure it out. They've considering what they've been through and what they've done. I mean, they. You know, I'm hoping they figure it out.
I can't say that I feel bad for them.
Oh, I don't either.
Maybe it's. Oh my God, they have Putt-Putt on Steam. Oh, Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't get me wrong when I say that I want to see them succeed. I don't even know who is in the company anymore at this point. It doesn't sound like Alex is.
Really? I thought he was still in it. Because he's the one that's still posting all on Facebook.
Really?
I thought it was.
Did he delete me from his friends list?
Probably.
That happens a lot, as it turns out.
Well, you're a type of cynical, so some people... which is rubbing off on me. Like I didn't know what terminology it was, like what they're called, like until someone was talking about it was South Park. They had an episode about what's his butt being very cynical, being an asshole, and I'm like not being an asshole but being cynical, and I'm like that totally makes sense. Don't even try to, you know, anything comes up, that sucks. And so I'm like, and it's like I'm getting it. It's because you're experiencing a certain point to it, like you just start seeing shit everywhere.
I'm just an asshole. But I think with as we get older, like you were talking about before we started the podcast, with the looking at the games now, there was a day like 8 years ago when shovelware was just for the Wii, and now that shovelware has overflowed into everything. And with Steam giving that whole green light thing to people who are making won't say any fucking names, who are making cell phone games for computers, like, yeah man, come on down.
Yeah.
It's incredible that these games blow up. There's no reason for it. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, there's fucking AAA titles that are coming out that are just humongous, like dinosaurs, Jurassic Park size steaming piles of shit.
Yeah.
That just that's essentially like what would happen if a dinosaur ate $4 billion in ones and then shit it out. Like, that's what it looks like. Cool.
Yeah. But again, but if you're a business, but think about it from a business standpoint, if you have the template, if you have a, hey, if we do it this step and this procedure, the dumbasses out there that have the money are going to buy it just because it's what they, Call of Duty is the prime example.
I was just going to say, enter Call of Duty, enter Madden, yeah, enter Battlefield.
But they're not bad games, it's just they're not really pushing the envelope. They're not really progressing the genre in any means. They're like, hey, look, now you get robots. Great, cool. I don't play it, whatever, but there's people that enjoy it, so good for them. But again, it's one thing.
Call of Duty was a lot of fun. I liked the Modern Warfare series. Now that Treyarch has pretty much taken the reins on it, I'm fucking, it sucks, dude. Black Ops wasn't good. Black Ops 2 wasn't good. Black Ops 3 looks terrible. The whole, like, wall running, double jumping, ridiculous bullshit. Save it, dude, save it for Destiny. Make a shooter that's fun to play.
Wasn't there a game that came out years ago that did, I remember Steve showing me about it. It's like, it was the whole parkour type combat.
Brink?
I think you're right.
Brink stands out in my mind. Brink was pretty notorious for, I mean, you're not for sure not talking about, Mirror's Edge wasn't multiplayer. Brink, I'm pretty sure,
well,
is what
Mirror's
you're
Edge
about.
I mean, that was Mirror's Edge. I mean, that was, you know, they the one
it
that
was a
started.
Single player
yeah.
game too.
Wow, do I really
yeah
gotta,
I think Brink
I'm what the hell yeah, so anyways, but I don't know, it's just one of those things where it's like, and then yeah, so, to bring it back to what I originally was going to say before the podcast about Division and the fact that they, which totally makes sense why they would do it, but part of me, and this is where my cynicism is kicking in, they blocked out majority of the planet, of the, not planet, of the city,
yeah,
for the beta. I'm like, I bet you they did that because there's not much, there's more of it, but it's probably more of the same, and so it's like they want to kind of maintain the illusion that there's this massive different game that people are playing. Oh yeah, it gets bigger and huge, and rowdy, it's going to be a big of the same. It's going to be, instead yeah. of 80 kilometers, it's going to be 100 kilometers or 1,000 kilometers, whatever the hell it is, of the same template that you just
thought. I agree.
And that's what I'm afraid of. I hope I'm wrong.
I agree. I think that absolutely carries, or I think that's a huge, I think that's, fuck, 50% of it, and I think the other 50% is to make the beta look like bigger than it actually is.
Right.
And that's, I don't know, I guess that's a little ridiculous to say since they made it smaller, but like if you at this point in game development, beta is essentially your public review.
Correct.
It's not testing shit. Like, they've made the game at this point. It's done. They're not stress testing anything. If they were stress testing, they would send a fucking beta key to everybody that wanted to play The Division. However, they're not. So I think it's them trying to condense everybody down into a very tight area, so it looks like, holy fuck, like, action packed.
Right.
I hope it's good. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong on that. If it's good, then that's fucking awesome. It would be killer to have a 4-player co-op game, or however many, that you can mob around in and then run over to the PvP area and raise hell. It sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
On paper. Just like almost every single other fucking game ever made.
Yep. Not like, yeah. Yeah. No, it's, and, but that's status quo for right now. That's how things are being developed, because it's protects their butt. I mean, it sucks.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's gonna we're not the only ones that feel this. And that's what's really scary, is that eventually it's going to continue to spread, and it's going to be, I mean, what? It doesn't take much to make a great game. You don't need much. You just need the right stuff in it. You don't need, you know, 4K resolutions. You don't need, you know, a bazillion mile map. I mean, look at Just Cause 3 or whatever, the new one came out. It has a massive map. Yeah, great. But what is it? I mean, that's a bad example. I don't know. It just...
Yeah, Brad's going to listen to this and call me up and freak the fuck out. Give me Michael's phone number. I need to tell him how fucking amazing Just Cause is. By the way, 12,000 reviews on Steam with a mixed review. So, not so good.
I haven't played it, and that's why I kind of stopped talking about it, because I don't know. But
I haven't played it either.
It's one of those things where it's like, I just remember seeing the publicity of it, like, oh, that massive map. I'm like, okay, massive map's great, but like GTA 5 is a prime example, like huge map, but you're still going to end up playing the bottom left hand corner in the city, because that's where everybody's at. You don't utilize this massive map, and if you do, you're spending 20 minutes of driving it from point A to point B. Okay, great.
Well, you got to incentivize it. Like, Grand Theft Auto's pretty good about that. Like, if somebody robs an ATM, then they become a bad guy, and then suddenly everybody on the map is like a hero, and like they're gonna go stop the thief that took the money from the ATM.
Fair enough.
But in all actuality, like, one of those three people that's chasing him trying to blow up his car is going to stop their car, get out, and go rob a fucking ATM as soon as this chase is over. So I mean, it gets people to kind of bounce around the map, but
alright, fair enough.
But with Just Cause has no multiplayer, so...
What? I thought it did.
No. Just Cause 2 did, because somebody made a mod, and then the company who made Just Cause picked up the mod and, like, actually endorsed it.
Well, what the new Just Cause? Isn't it Just Cause 3 out now? That just came out?
3 is the new one.
Yeah.
2 was the one that has multiplayer. 3 does not have multiplayer.
What? I thought... Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
Because I'm pretty sure... I overheard.
Yeah,
Ben.
Single player, Steam achievements, full controller support, Steam trading cards. That's it. It's not multiplayer.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's that.
Wow. That
as soon as you're done attaching rockets to some insurgent's ass and making him fly around inside of a porta potty, like, you've it's pretty much it.
But I mean, you know what? Like, Just Cause would be a great tech demo.
Oh, dude, for sure. For sure.
That would be, like, the best tech demo.
Yeah, Just Cause 3 got a 74 on Metacritic, which is pretty good. It's better than a mixed review on Steam, that's for sure. User reviews pretty much pinned it to the ground. But it doesn't work for shit for AMD graphics cards.
Well, AMD graphics cards suck.
Or not AMD, I'm sorry.
NVIDIA. There's only two.
NVIDIA works fine. Is AMD the other
one?
Okay, AMD.
Yeah.
Sorry. I was thinking Raytheon, like that whole, or Radeon.
Yeah, Raytheon is defense contracting weaponry and whatnot. Like, really? They have a GPU out? Damn.
Smart.
But, I don't know. It's... I don't know. I want our game. I want the game out. I want something. But then again, maybe we're just too old, dude. Maybe we should just be done gaming.
Nah, man. Never give up, never surrender. Fuck that, dude. Fuck that.
I don't know.
I wrote down notes about what we could do, or what I want in a game, and I know that if I went down the list and read them to you, you would agree with it wholeheartedly.
Right.
The strange thing that I ended up writing down was that I imagined it being a pirate MMO. And that's very weird to me, because, like, pirates isn't a fucking, like, not like your brother. Like, I guess that your brother used to be a pirate when we were playing Dungeons and Dragons the other day. Like, what's your background? Oh, Matt, I can guess. One of two. You a pirate? Yeah, I am a fucking pirate. You're either that or a sailor, obviously. But I don't know. I think it's there. It's there, and the people, everything that I've heard from like other podcasts and articles and stuff like that talking about MMOs, there is a desire outside of our tight little group talking about it. There are people who want an MMO back the way that it used to be. But I don't know. I don't know, dude. I don't know if there's enough people to justify it. I don't know if enough people would succumb to that monthly membership.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I'm okay. Well, this keeps it simple. There's different strategies that we could employ. If we sit there and redraft up an actual design document, we can sell it. We can go sit there and pitch it to the big boys and see what we can get away with. And maybe they'll actually make it or not. Or we design it and we try to build it. I mean, it can't... That goes... I don't know if I was telling you this or I was telling somebody else this, but like, if we do the basic... We build out the functionality and the features and all that stuff, it's not rocket science. It's not that hard. It's once you figure it out, like, programming is programming. The hard part is the art, and that's where the talent comes into play.
For sure. Yeah.
So if we can get the basic bullshit out, I mean, we can buy textures. I mean, we can make it acceptable. I mean, come on, Minecraft looks like shit, but yet we look past that.
Yeah, because it's a good fucking game.
EverQuest. I mean, we still go back to EverQuest once in a while because of the gameplay.
I miss it. Miss it every day.
I'm still debating on going back to it. But, I mean, it's graphics has to be to a certain point, but the rest of it is gameplay. I mean, if we build it out to the point of what we have to figure, we have to design. Sorry.
Dial it back.
We have to design the game, and then from there we can see what, you know, we gotta be big boys about it. I mean, it's
nobody else is giving it to us, so may as well just fuck it, whatever, make it a 6-player co-op game, whatever,
right? I mean, a great dungeon diving game is what we all want in MMO. We want to get lost in the world, and it doesn't have to be an MMO. I mean, shit, even an MMO, you're only playing with 5 or 6 people at any point in time anyways.
Nope, we're going back. We're fucking old school EverQuest groups, fucking 9-player, 10-player groups. You gotta have a fucking chanter, a cleric, a backup healer, a tank, an off tank, and fucking 4 DPSs, cause shit's getting turned the fuck up.
And you still have to train the zone. And he's sit there. I remember yelling out, "Train the zone!" And everyone just watches the mob, and everyone just booking it out so you don't get stuck with a fucking check. Like, no. Yeah.
And that poor sack of shit that hit the zone wall on the other side, and then they were like, "Oh, I'm gonna go get a beverage while this loads," and then they left their computer, and then they come back to, "You're dead." Fucking respawn or wait for a resurrection.
Or yeah, you're gonna be blowing some necromancer, like, to get the freaking jewel.
Yeah. Fucking coffin.
Like, that part was like the coolest aspect, is just like, you literally had to rely on somebody else to get your shit. Like,
that was so fucking cool. Yeah. Man,
but people are pissies right now, man. People are like, oh shit. Like, I'm not gonna lie, like, I would be very frustrated and very upset if I got trained to zone and I lost all my awesome shit. But then again,
well, the thing is that it's sitting there and your corpse is locked. I mean, that's the fucking reality, right, of it. You shouldn't have gone AFK at a zone.
Right.
That's rule number one in fucking EverQuest. Don't do that.
Right.
But
that's...
You can just go fetch that bastard again. There's nobody at the zone line that's going to come get you, unless you time it poorly and get hit by another train of Zodiacs and the fucking...
Right. The only other thing is... the only other big feature that I would love to have is procedurally generated. Because if we build a game, we know the game. But if we somehow can procedurally generate it, then we can still play our game and it'll still be new to us.
Yeah.
And
that's honestly what it boils down to, is having a fun game that we can play. That's not... Yeah.
Because I
don't need money. I need a fucking decent game to play. Yeah. That's what I fucking need.
If I make money off of it, great. But, I mean, I don't know. It's just... It doesn't hurt in trying. So maybe that's it. Maybe that's what we need to start doing is start drafting shit down and start figuring out how to... on paper, on how we want to do things. And then we find the technology. Maybe UT4 or the new Unreal engine may be the best candidate, because that'll give us the pretty pictures that we may want.
God, it looks really good.
Like I said, programming is not that hard once you get your head around the principles of it.
Well, you can learn math. You can't, I mean, I guess you can learn how to draw, but you're not going to be, you can't learn how to be creative, I don't think. Maybe that's just my uncreative mind thinking that, but I feel like that's kind of a roadblock in itself.
Anybody can be creative. The question is whether or not they have the medium to display that creativity. Like, I can't draw worth shit, but if I could figure out how to do 3D animation or whatever, I bet you sure. I can make a badass video, a movie or a cinematic or whatever, because I constantly play in it in my fucking head every goddamn day of the spaceship combat seat. God, imagine seeing me in my fucking car doing a long ass road trip, sitting there, like, I'm sitting there literally, I shit you not, my hands up in the air flipping switches and whatnot. Just, I don't, yeah, yeah, I digress. But I mean,
it was always been like that.
So I mean, shit, I'll even have coworkers in my car, and I shit you not, I'll go contact and then turn on my car. Because I'm that asshole. But I don't know, I'm all excited, and I know that we can get, if we can get the, if we can design it on paper, I am confident that we could have a chance of actually building it out.
Sure.
The hard part is scope creep and not having a plan. If we can build up a plan that everyone agrees upon and gets motivated behind it, we start chiseling out the code of it. I mean, it's all object-oriented programming, so you're just building out features, and then you're plugging that code into the main code to call to, and then, boom. I mean, it's, the shit's documented. There's no reason why you can't do it.
Just rearranging items in an already...
I mean...
Not created space, but it's just, like, it's all there. You just have to move it around to where you want it to be at, and then fix it if it's fucked up.
Yeah, and if we can... I don't know. Math, there's math involved, but it's not like you're, when you're programming in equations. You do equations for when you're doing combat and all that fun stuff, or possibly with procedure generated. I'm sure there's shit like that too, but I don't know.
Probably. My issue with procedurally generated, Jesus Christ, can't find my words. My issue with that is, I want an MMO. Like, that's what I want. I want... Dude, if people are enjoying Dark Souls, that game beats you senseless. That game... It beats the hope out of you until you're just fine with dying. And then you start to get better at it. Because the beginning 4 hours of it, 5 hours of it, is this misery. And you think that you're fucking up continuously, but in reality, that's they're just teaching you how to play the fucking game. And I don't want anything as brutal as Dark Souls is, but there needs to be, the game needs to have a backbone. Like, it needs to swat people down when they fucking make stupid mistakes. Otherwise, you end up with 9-year-olds running dungeons that are just running into piles of mobs and fucking the entire group, i.e. Leroy Jenkins.
Right.
Like, you don't want that, dude.
Right. Well, the only problem is in the realm, like, I agree with you, but in the realm of possibility, I would say it's a lot easier to build out a game for a small group, and then once you figure that part out, then you build it out to MMO. It just, I'm actually trying to be realistic about, you know, what we can get done in our lifetime with our skill sets.
A lot.
And not only that, but I mean, learning how to program, I mean, shit, dude, you figure that shit out, I mean, you can put that on your resume. So, and I can definitely use more shit on my resume.
Without a doubt.
But, I don't know, it's...
Well, man.
Yeah.
We could sit here and bore people with, GameStop is publishing a game. I thought that was super interesting. I forgot about that. I just looked at my notes. GameStop's publishing a game. And it's going to be downloadable, I think, on Steam. And for sure from their website. But it's only going to be... A physical copy is only going to be accessible in their store.
Of course.
So it's essentially... It's... Like, they give bonus content for all that goofy Call of Duty bullshit. Like, get a red and black jumpsuit for your robot in Call of Duty 7. So you can double jump 6 times. If you buy it at GameStop. Whatever. So it's just essentially them getting a game. It's called Song of the Deep. Little girl's gonna get in a fucking submarine and go find her dad. Some side-scrolling 2D. I don't know if you'd call it an adventure.
Digging deep, huh?
Yeah, real deep.
Jesus. Real deep. Well, best of luck to them.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's probably gonna flop, but hey.
Okay. Hey. Gotta learn somehow.
All right.
Alrighty, Mr. Michael, thank you for joining us.
Anytime. Thanks for having
me. Thanks for being a part of this. All right, everybody. Have a wonderful time, and we'll see you guys next week.
Ciao.
Bye.